So this is a brand new mastermind. Normally, we're doing the bloggers group the second and fourth Monday of every month. And what we're going to do is we're going to pop this particular lesson in on that fourth Monday instead. And this is how to create a masterclass, a mastermind, or a challenge. And so what we're doing is as we're creating our businesses, whatever business we want to promote, folks really have to know, like, and trust you before they're willing to give you their money, if it's any sizable amount of money. Now, don't get me wrong, I've clicked on ads that I've seen on Facebook, and I knew nothing about the person or knew didn't know if the material was even any good, but it was $27 or $47. And usually, if it's under 50 bucks, I'm pretty good at just tossing my credit card out there and buying it if it's something that I've been interested in finding out about, because I spend that much if I just go out to dinner, on one night. So I don't get too concerned about 27, 37, 47. But when it starts to be $100 or $197 or $499, and then up from there, then I start to think, is this material going to be worth this? Do I really want to? And if it is, if they're charging a higher ticket, then I start thinking, okay, if it's a higher ticket, it's going to be some really deep stuff. And so then I start questioning my time. I go, okay, do I want to invest this kind of money? Do I have the time to commit to that right now? And so it becomes a different question. The low-end stuff, the question is, I'm going to grab it, even if I put it on the shelf and go revisit it later. But once it starts, and everybody has their own threshold, I get that. But once it starts moving up financially, then I start asking myself a different question. I start asking myself, do I have the time to really, do I really want to invest $500 if I'm going to put it on the shelf and revisit it later? Probably not. I'll hope that it comes around again. So we're going to talk about doing some sort of a masterclass, mastermind, or a challenge with the intent of selling something at the end. And so the best way to use this mastermind, and I'm going to call it a mastermind. And every time I say the word mastermind, just know that I'm talking about a masterclass or a challenge. And also know that I'm talking about a five session something. Now, don't get me wrong, you can create and do a single day masterclass and have a sales at the end. But oftentimes, if you're going to do a one day masterclass and have a sales at the end, you might want to do an evergreen video. And what that means is you create your masterclass with all your talking points, and you do one, and you get your tribe together, and you actually kind of set it up where they're going to ask you really pointed questions, and you're going to kind of stage it, and you're going to create this masterclass that you're going to record, and it's going to be evergreen. Now, does everybody know what evergreen means? Yes. So evergreen, once you have it recorded, you want to keep dates and comments out that would date it. And so at that point, you can run that evergreen recording without physically having to be present. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing? Because now you've made part of your marketing totally passive. You don't have to show up to do it. But what really works, if you're not to the place where people know you, and where an evergreen masterclass really works, is if it's somebody that's kind of famous and you already know them, you know of them. Like if there were, for example, if there were some sort of a masterclass from Oprah, and you said, I love the topic. I love Oprah. I know Oprah. I know she's doing good in the world. I can connect with her cause. I can connect with how she thinks. And so you're thinking, I'm going to take this masterclass. And it's at the right price point, where you're thinking, okay, let's say $97. You're thinking, okay, under 100 bucks, it's Oprah. I know, I trust her. I don't know her personally, but I've watched her as her business has unfolded, and I trust her products and services. And so I go, okay, I'm going to spend $97. I'm going to take this masterclass. When the masterclass comes on, it looks just like this call right here. And she's got 10 people on and there, and she's presenting and they're all asking questions, but the whole darn thing is recorded. Okay. And then she says to you in the masterclass, put your questions over in the chat. Okay, well, Susie Q, who is one of her staff members, is answering the questions, but you're thinking your question is getting answered live on this masterclass that you're listening to. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So now she can just run that masterclass every quarter forever. And there is going to be a percentage. It's going to be a formula, and there is going to be a percentage of people that are going to buy whatever she's selling at the end of that masterclass. And right now she is selling an actual live mastermind, and she's doing a one-day masterclass. And when you listen to the masterclass, you click at the end that you want to join her live event. And it's a membership site. And I'm telling everybody here, it's membership sites are the way to go. If you can put your products and services and add value into a membership site, because you don't have to keep reselling every month, because the membership site starts with 10 people and then you've got 20 and then you got 30. Next thing you know, you got a couple hundred. And the next thing you know, you got $3,000 coming in a month just from your membership site, but you have to constantly add value. So anyway, that is Oprah's funnel, if you will, of folks that see that masterclass advertised wherever, in a magazine, out on social media, on any of her programs, whatever she's doing, she's advertising the masterclass. People click in, they listen, they get their questions answered because there's a moderator behind the scenes answering the questions in the chat. You know, like, well, how much does this cost? Well, when does it start? Well, are there replays if I miss a session? You know, it's all those common questions. And there's somebody answering those. And so then at the end, the person makes a decision. I'm either going to buy or I'm not going to buy. But they already have that know, like, and trust factor. And so for all of us, we have to create that know, like, and trust factor. And so one of the ways to do that is with a 5 session of something. And 5 is our magic number, because when you get together for more than 5 times, you start to feel like you're connected to folks. You know, you start to think, you know, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to not be in the loop. I want to show up every time. And even if physically you have to miss occasionally, for whatever reason, you know, another commitment takes precedence, family member, whatever, or, you know, maybe another client that you're working with, that's okay. But you feel bad when you've missed a session after you've been in 5 sessions with a particular group. And so that's the goal. That's why 5 is the magic number. Because again, folks definitely want to show up. And so the first thing you have to decide, if you're going to do a 5 session mastermind, masterclass challenge, you have to figure out, what platform am I going to use? Now, I started and built my entire academy off of this five session idea. This is the cornerstone of how I built my business. And Debbie and Sally, you're going to remember this because you got gals were on board from the very beginning. When I first left the salon industry and decided, after going to a couple of Carrie's fellowships, and decided that I was going to do some sort, and I didn't know what it looked like at the time. I didn't have any idea what the questions were. So I certainly didn't have any idea what the answers were, because I didn't even know the questions at the time. So I thought, how am I going to do this? And Debbie, I don't know if you remember this. I think you were even in on the first one. The very first one that I did was about health. And I used the book. I simply took a book, and mine was, it wasn't Fit as a Fiddle. What was the name of the book? Fit for Life by Harvey and Marilyn Diamond. So I took the book Fit for Life by Harvey and Marilyn Diamond, and I basically did a 5 session book review. I didn't write the material. I just took the book. And at the very beginning, I said, here's the book we're going to be using. Here's the Cliff Notes if you want them. Here's how you can get the book if you want to buy the book. And I did 5 session basically a book review. And I would say over and over and over in my five sessions, well, Harvey and Marilyn say, blah, 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 blah. And in chapter two, Harvey and Marilyn say, and then in chapter seven, Harvey and Marilyn indicate that this, you know, and that's how I, do you remember that, Debbie? That's how I taught that. And then I recorded it. And I had a group, I don't know, less than 10. And folks would ask me questions and they would go, and it even was kind of comical because they would say, well, what does Harvey and Marilyn say about, and I would go, I don't know. Here, let me get the book and find out, you know, let me, you know, go through the pages and see if I can find out what Harvey and Marilyn say about that. And so the point was, is that I had nothing. I just did a book review is what I did. And dang. So at the question,
I said, oh, dang, yes. That's too simple.
So at the end of that five sessions, what I did then is, because I recorded it, and what I did at the end of the five sessions is I went back through and I listened to the questions that my little tiny audience had for me, and that is where the magic happened, because then I started researching outside of my little tiny 100-page book, Fit for Life by Harvey and Marilyn Diamond. Outside of that book, I started researching the questions that my actual audience had for me and started putting together my course module. And so then as I created the course module, I didn't still have enough material, see, because I'd only been through five Zoom calls. And so I took a couple of week break. And I laid out a calendar for the whole year, and I marked off all the times that I knew I didn't want to be on a Zoom call, and nor did my audience. Like, they didn't want to be on a Zoom call on Christmas or Christmas Eve or on Easter, or, you know, on a Sunday maybe because of family day, or on a Wednesday night because maybe that's a church night for them, or, you know, so I had to mark off that. And I finally narrowed it down to the times that I could do this five session, whatever, masterclass, mastermind, challenge. And so once I determined that, I discovered that I could do this five session about four times a year. And so I plugged that in. So that was step number one, is when can you do it? If you can't show up, it's not going to work. And you can't change once you commit something. I mean, even with you gals coming on board here, from the very beginning, and I'll go back to the calendar piece. From the very beginning, I had a calendar. But how many times are you busy because life gets in the way? You've got your own families, you've got your own obligations, and you know that the call is sometime today, but you're like, what time was that? And where's that Zoom code? So then with social media the way it is today, and with all of the internet stuff the way it is today, you're thinking, do I find it on her website? Do I find it in her Facebook page? Did she mention it in a Facebook thread? Did she send me an email? Maybe it's in a text message. And the next thing you know, you're scurrying around going, oh my gosh, where is that? So you can imagine if I book something and then I keep moving it every week. Do you know how often would you chase that down?
Well, you wouldn't.
You couldn't. So my first point is get your calendar, decide when you can do these, and then carve it in stone. Now, short of a death in the family, I get that if it's something that you have no control over, you know, but don't change it just because you got a better offer. You know, oh, my kids are coming to town and they want to go to dinner, so I don't think I'm going to do my call tonight. I'm going to go to dinner with the kids. Because if you were working a job and punching a time clock, you wouldn't tell your boss, I'm not coming to work today because I'm going to hang out with my kids, because you wouldn't have a job very long. So you have to treat this like your job, like this is your company, and you have to treat it as such. And so carve it in stone. like I said, short of a death in the family, I get that things like that do happen. You do have emergencies, you know, somebody's, you know, has a heart attack or, you know, or whatever, but not just because you got a better offer. Yes, Debbie.
So where would my example of last month when I was at convention for my meetup and I really couldn't do it. I couldn't be present up front like I normally am. So was it wrong to enlist you as my co-person?
Not
to
at
help
all.
Out?
Not at all. And okay. That's another point. And so thanks for bringing that up. That's a great question, Debbie, because you do have some times that you want to step away and you don't want to change the date. So the first point is don't change the date. So how do you not change the date if something comes up that really is important? And that's where you have a co-mod or a co-facilitator that you can call on. And you can even have more than one. This morning on my Clubhouse, I had made Ruth and Debbie my co-mods this morning. And it works out beautifully because now, even if you get bumped off a call or whatever. And so speaking of that, my co-mod in this one is Mason. And so I'm going to go, and I don't know if I can do that on the little dots up here. Yes. Maybe since you're not a host, you don't get this, but if you highlight in the upper corner of anyone's square, do you get three little buttons or no? Maybe I only get that because I'm the host. I can scroll down and I can make Mason my co-host. And it says, do you want to make Mason Van Dyke Storyteller the co-host of this meeting? And I mark it yes. And so now he is a co-host. So the reason that you do that is if for some reason I would get bumped off, Mason would still be on the call. And what happens, see, because Zoom requires that you either have a pin to get into a meeting or you have a waiting room, there were so many Zoom hackers early on when this pandemic started. There was folks out there that had nothing better to do and they would just make a game out of destroying Zoom calls. If they got your code, they would come in and just be totally inappropriate. And I've had a few of those that's happened on some of my calls. And so what happens there is, you have to have a co-host because if I get bumped out for some reason, your co-host has to know to let you back in the room because you're going to come back in either with the pin or back into that waiting room. And so that's why Zoom required you to have one or the other. So I choose waiting room when I set up a meeting because again, I don't know about you, but when I'm out on the move and if I'm going to tap into someone else's call on my phone and then it says, the call is in progress. So please enter your pin to enter the call. Well, where do I find the pin? Is it in an email? Is it in a text? Do I have to go to their website? So now I've got to get out of the whole Zoom because I'm only on my phone. So I can't open another window. So now I got to leave the Zoom call to go try to find the pin to try to come back into this. You get it. And so when I set up a Zoom, I always mark the waiting room option instead of the pin option. And because that way, their name is going to pop up at the top of the screen. And it just says, Debbie is in the waiting room or Estella is in the waiting room. That's all it says. And then you just click admit and let them in. But if I get bumped out and then I come back in, it'll say Kathy is in the waiting room. And someone in the call has to have the ability to let me back in. And that's why you want to have a co-host. Mm-hmm. The co-host has the same power as the host.
Can I make one other point, real Kathy?
Sure.
Also on this thing, make sure you're learning your technology. And I give that example because I've been wanting to use my tablet more convenient, better battery life than my computer, but I'm still learning controls. Like even right now, you're talking about blurring on my phone, on my computer, I know how to blur. I have yet to figure that out on this. So I'm still playing with my device on how to learn these things. That's why you see me kind of poking here. It's me trying these things as we go along.
Yes. Now, and I have a solution for that as well, because your phone, it will be set up one way on Zoom. All your buttons will be in a certain spot. Your computer, your laptop will be different and your tablet will then be yet different. So all three are different. And Estella, you may notice that if you get your computer on and your tablet on, not everything is in the same spot. So you can go in every time you have a Zoom account, you have a personal meeting code. Is everybody familiar with me saying that? Do you know what I'm talking about? It's because you can schedule a meeting and Zoom will assign it its own code. And that's what I do for all of these calls. But I have a personal room. If I'm just going to do a Zoom meeting on the fly, somebody calls me up and says, hey, Kathy, let's Zoom for a minute. I want to show you something. I can just toss out my personal meeting code. I don't have to go in and set up a room because my personal meeting code, the room is already set up. And so when I jump in on the personal meeting code, as soon as I jump in there, then I have to, depending on where I'm at, I have to look around on my device, like Mason said, and figure out where do I click them in as a co-host so that, you know, so that we don't lose the call. Where do I get the blur behind me? What do I click to record? You know, where's, because on my tablet, I just have a record button right at the bottom, across the bottom of my screen. On my brand new laptop, I don't have that. I have to click the more button first, and there's the record buttons over under the more. And so every device is just a little different. And so what I like to do is when nobody else is on the call, I like to open up that private meeting room, just start a meeting in that private, it's just me. And I start playing and I just start talking to myself. Oh, it's the funniest thing if you get the recording of that, because it has me going, where do I find, and I'm just talking to myself. And I'm like, where's the darn volume? Oh, there it is. And I'm just, because I want to hear how the recording sounds. So I'm just kind of mumbling to myself. And I'm just clicking all around. And I'm trying the record. And I'm trying the pause. And I'm trying the blur. And I'm trying the different back. And I'm just practicing. And so feel free to do that on your device. And that way you'll be more comfortable where everything is when you're ready. You can click all around and find it. Does that make sense?
Note- Mm-hmm. On that note, Zoom is also very powerful for the recording pays. Another group I was in, I actually wanted to record, basically it was lessons from the Lotus. And I wanted to make a recording for somebody. And I wanted to have pictures of a lotus flower. And I looked at different ways. Zoom for me was the easiest way to put up a little, if you will, presentation showing different pictures of lotus. And then for me, I narrated in the background the story of what I thought the lotus. So it's also a very nice platform. To me, it seemed the easiest way to do that at the time to use it. And then just it records it. You find where it records it. And then now you've got that. And it was very easy to post. So it's very easy to create and post in Zoom using that private meeting room.
Yes. And the other thing that I want to encourage you, because we're talking about platforms, is on your cell phone itself, I actually have right on my, and of course I'm blurred, but I have right on my cell phone, the Zoom app. So I can open the app right on my cell phone as well. And again, the buttons are all in a little bit different spot because of the device, but play around with that. You can open up your private meeting room right on your phone and play around with it there. And I advise you to do that for a couple of reasons. Number one, you almost always have your phone with you, whereas you don't always have your laptop or tablet. You almost always have your phone. And in a pinch, you can run an entire meeting on your phone, which is what I did Friday when Linda presented with the Everyone Communicates View Connect. And by the way, in our practice, so all of you are welcome to practice, the fourth Friday of every month at 10 a.m., there is someone in our group that facilitates 5 sessions. And I facilitated the first 5. Mason facilitated the second 5. Angie did the third 5. And now Linda is doing the fourth 5. And she just started her first one on Friday. And what it does, and again, just Debbie, just like I was saying when I did my first 5 way back in the day, I just took the book by John Maxwell, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. We broke it down into the 5 chapters that we're going to cover. And now everyone gets to facilitate the same book. And what that does is the rest of us get to observe, and we get to see all these different styles. We get to see how they pull people into the conversation, because that's the whole point of a mastermind or a masterclass. You want to pull people because you want them to connect. See, you want them to say, I might miss a lot of things, but I'm not missing that call because I feel heard there. So you want folks to connect. So by practicing the fourth Friday of every month, everyone gets a turn to do that, to learn how to bring people into the conversation and how to keep the conversation going, and how to let somebody know that they're about to call. Because you're going to have introverts, you're going to have extroverts, you're going to have somebody that's afraid to say anything, you're going to have somebody that wants to bulldoze their way through the whole call. And as the facilitator, your job is to keep all of that at the right pace. And so you're wearing a lot of different hats all at the same time. And that's why it's important to practice, because that way you're practicing among friends, and see, we're all getting a turn. So we know at some point it's going to be our turn to be the facilitator. And that way we can see the things that we like, because I think we learn so much faster that way. At least I know I do. When I see someone doing something, I go, oh my gosh, I want to be like her, you know. I want to have her poise. I want to have, you know, I want to be able to talk like her. I want to be able to have that kind of knowledge. And so I think it's so important to actually see people in action, and it gives us the confidence that we too can do it. And so that's the whole point. And then this starts today, what I'm doing right now, so that we can, you know, get behind the scenes more. So instead of actually doing a mastermind, even though we are, because, you know, we're learning all the same thing, we're actually peeking behind the scenes. We're getting a look behind the scenes. How do you maneuver around on the platform, which is the first thing. So first things first, calendar. You've got to know when you can plug this 5-session something in, and have a co-mod. And we're going to talk the difference between moderator and facilitator. So have a co-mod. And then at that point, plug it into your calendar on the Bright platform. Now, there's all kinds of platforms out there. I'm just sold on Zoom. I'm with Mason. And the reason I like Zoom is because, again, not much out of this pandemic has been in our favor, except it made everybody familiar with Zoom.
Yeah.
Because even the school kids were using Zoom. So the parents of the school kids had to learn Zoom so that they could help the kids get on Zoom. And so what happened is almost everyone has a Zoom account, or they're at least familiar with tapping into a Zoom meeting. And so that's why it's just kind of a given. Now, there are platforms out there that have everything. And you have to test and measure how much you want to spend, and how big you're going to make this thing, and is doing these calls going to be a huge part of your business, or is it going to be just a smaller marketing piece of your business? Where is this going to fit in into your business? It's a huge piece of my business. For those of you that are tapping in with me, I'm doing about 8 of these a month. So this is a huge piece of my business, because I record it, and then that's what I upload onto my Teachable. So I'm using Calendly as my booking calendar. I'm using Google Calendar as my embed calendar. So those are my two calendars, Calendly and Google. Then I'm using Teachable as my platform to park everything. And then I'm using Zoom to do all the recording. Zoom is my recording studio, which is why I played around with it. But you want to make it easy. If you're going to set up to where I got to have the right light ring and the green screen and the appropriate background, and I mean, you know, if you go through that, you're going to be tied to a brick and mortar location, because it's too hard to pack all that stuff up and take it with you. So here's what I discovered about doing any kind of videos. Folks love the very, very professionally done videos. We've all seen them. Very professional. But they almost feel a little salesy. because they're usually selling something and they've had this professional video done to sell something. And then you've got on the total opposite spectrum, you have the very authentic videos. It's just the girl that picks up the camera that says, hey, I'm going to show you how I put on my makeup. You know, how many of those have we women watched? I've watched several of those because they're entertaining. Now, of course, here's me today with no makeup on, but they're very entertaining. And, you know, and you get to feel their personality in that video, and you start to feel like you know them and you like them and you trust them. And I love murder mysteries. It's one of my thing. And so there's a gal on YouTube and she does makeup and murder. And so the whole time she's putting on her makeup and you're watching her do her makeup, she's telling a story, a true story about, did you hear about the guy back in 1976? And she's doing her makeup while she's telling an actual true story of someone that got murdered and how they found the person that did it. And so you're listening to the story and I get so engrossed. It's my relaxation time. I go watch murder, you know, makeup and murder when I want to relax a little bit, because I don't have to do anything. I don't have to think anything. I'm just watching her and she's very entertaining. Well, the funny part about that is that I forget I'm watching her on YouTube and I want to go, oh, you missed a spot, your mascara right there. And I want to help her because I feel like I know her, you know? And so that's the whole point, is that you either are going to go super, super professional with the camera crews and all of that, or you're going to be very authentic. Those ones in between that are really hokey, but they think they're professional, we shake our head at. Yeah. So don't be that person. Because we just shake our head at them going, oh, you think that was good? Not so much. And so don't try to make yourself that all buttoned up unless you've got the team, you know, to present you all buttoned up. So be authentic. Don't try to make yourself more than what you are. And people will relate better, I think, if you just relax and you're authentic.
Okay. Can I jump in here for a second?
Absolutely. Kind of make
a comment or a question. So what's interesting is the way you described it. So she's sitting there and it's comical, but you're doing makeup, telling a story. For me, and I'm just going to speak from my point of view, because I'm still trying to define what I want to do, okay? So it's like a spectrum. My default nature through years of training is I feel like I have to be professional, the screen, et cetera, et cetera, yada. But what I'm finding is for my writing, for example, when I'm a little more vulnerable and I write about something that's on my mind or my heart, mm-hmm. going that end, I seem to connect better with folks. Mm-hmm. But it's a matter of learning and trying different things. So as we're looking at this mastermind concept, as we're looking at how we're going to present ourselves, it is important for us to realize we're going to go from trying to be very formal, been there, done that, and come across as a stuffed shirt, been there, done that, to going to the other end of really dumb. And that's okay. Because only by taking that chance to say, okay, I'm going to be very hokey now, I'm very dumb, I realize, well, do I like that? And I'll keep pushing with that and I'll get better. Or no, that's not what I want. Let's go back. So, and I say this because as we're trying to find our voices and how we present ourselves on screen, we're going to do some things. We're going to go, yes, I rock. And you do things and go, oh my God, I'm a dork. You know, and that's going to happen. And that is okay to say that.
Yes.
And that's okay to recognize that. Because part of us will cringe at that. You know, when you hear yourself speak, for example, if I record and hear myself speak, I cringe at the sound of my voice. I've had to learn. And it's okay to have that, because as we're going through that to find where our voice is, where our comfort zone is, we need to recognize that's okay. So we don't beat ourselves up like, I can never be on this. I could never do this. So I'm just trying to identify that. Like, it's okay to go from to find where you're going to be at. You're going to try different things, some which will work, some won't. I mean, 5 years ago, I was trying to show my daughter how easy it is to put something on YouTube. because she wanted to do something. It's so hard, Dad. It's so hard. One day we had this conversation on the way to school. I dropped her off at school. I pulled over to the church parking lot right next to the school and did a motivational kind of whatever the day was, motivational video, and just recorded it on my phone and then uploaded it privately just to show her, look, Macy, look what I did this morning. And I'd never done that before. It comes across as hokey, but by gosh, I tried something.
Right.
And it worked. So it's that trying thing to see where your comfort zone is. So it's okay to go through that whole range.
How do you what, Sally?
So you record a video on your phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you upload it to YouTube? And do you have to have a YouTube account?
Yes.
You have to have a YouTube account. But let me share with you what I do. And because I love Zoom so much, so Zoom becomes my recording studio because, you know, I can do the background, I can do, you know, the recording, I can tape it, I can record it in the cloud. And when Zoom is done with the recording, when you end the call, and if you're the host or co-host, you've got the little end button, a little red button, and you click it and the call is over. It just bumps everybody out. And so you can end the call. Once you end the call, Zoom takes some time to spool, and you'll go back into your Zoom account and it'll say recording in process because it hasn't quite caught up with itself yet. When it's finally ready, it'll give you the audio video. So it'll look just like this and it'll sound just like this, or it'll give you just the audio only on a whole separate channel. And so now, once it's spooled and it's there, now you can do something with it. Now you can, number one, you could buy more storage and leave it on Zoom. That's your first choice. Just leave it on Zoom. Just use the Zoom link and publish the Zoom link, you know, because it's going to give you a link for that recording, that finished recording, whether it's audio, video, or just audio. And you can use that and you can buy more storage and save it right on Zoom. When I priced that, that seemed a little pricey to me to keep adding that Zoom storage. So I went over and I said, what is the difference? And this, my point here in this conversation is going to be twofold. Number one, I said, what is the difference between Vimeo and YouTube? Where can I put these videos? What platform can I save them on? And which is better, Vimeo or YouTube? So the first point I want to make is have it in more than one place. There is a thing going around right now, and I don't know if you've heard about it, where there are hackers in other countries, I won't even get into the politics of all of that, that are holding some large American companies hostage. And they're saying, you either give us this super huge sum, $5 million or whatever, super huge sum of money, or we're going to wipe out all your client base. And big companies, some of them, they have not advertised it, but some of them have agreed to pay the ransom to keep from losing because these hackers, international hackers, have hacked into their stuff. So Mark asked me early on, he said, what happens if you save it all on Zoom and Zoom loses everything? He said, that's your entire school. He said, what happens if you put it on Vimeo and Vimeo loses everything? What happens if you put it on YouTube and YouTube loses everything? So I made the decision that, and this is me. Now, these are just options for you. But for me, I made the decisions not to buy more storage on Zoom. I decided that once it spools and I've got the total recording, that I'm going to upload it onto Vimeo. Now, here's my thinking. When you're watching a YouTube video, at the end of the video, it bumps you out, but it doesn't keep you with that particular author, not necessarily. It might, but it doesn't always. If that author only has, let's say you're watching a masterclass that's pre-recorded, and at the end, maybe your favorite, I'll use myself as an example. I like the makeup and murder. So I might be listening to a Carrie Oberbrunner. And as soon as his lesson is over, it bumps me out to a series of makeup and murder. You know why? Because YouTube knows that I've clicked on those And so YouTube wants to keep me on YouTube as long as possible. And so they're going to bump me over to stuff that they know I've looked up. When you're on Vimeo, Vimeo only bumps it over to your additional content. It doesn't bump it to somebody else's content. So because I'm doing a school and I'm charging a membership fee and I'm building a platform inside of Teachable as a school, I do not want my students getting bumped over to Dancing with the Stars at the end of the session. You see where I'm going with that? Mm-hmm. So I chose Vimeo. And so the first thing I do is once the Zoom call is done, and it tells me it's done, I download it into my computer. Now, this is a multi-step for several reasons. I download it into my computer so that I get a link. Okay. Then I take that link and I upload that into Vimeo. And then that's the link, the Vimeo link, not my computer link, not the Zoom link. The Vimeo link is the one that then I advertise. I can email it out. I can put it over in Teachable. I can send it to a speaker and tell them, hey, here's the link. You know, use it however you want, the content there. And no matter when they end that watching that video, it loops them to yet another video of mine. It'll say, you've just watched this video from Kathy Benner. Here's some other videos from Kathy Benner that you might enjoy. It doesn't bump you out to Makeup and Murder or Dancing with the Stars or America's Got Talent. It keeps you in my videos. Okay, does that make sense? So that's why I use Vimeo. Debbie, go ahead.
Sorry. So technically right now with my meetups, I'm downloading them to my computer.
Right.
And then I put them in YouTube.
Correct.
Would you suggest that I also put them in Vimeo for two play?
Well, now here's the question. And is everybody following this? Debbie, are you leaving them also in your hard drive or are you deleting them there?
No, they're still in my hard drive.
Okay. So you do have them in two places. If you're erasing them off of your Zoom to loosen up your space in Zoom because you don't want to pay for more space, you still have them in your hard drive and you have them on YouTube. So you have your videos in two places. And that is my point. I recommend that you put all your videos in two places. Now, I had a small laptop. It didn't have a lot of RAM. It didn't have a lot of ROM. And next thing you know, and you girls remember this for a couple of months, I struggled trying to open up a video or share my screen or whatever because my computer was just packed. And so I do not keep my videos in my hard drive. Once I upload them into Vimeo, I erase them out of my hard drive and I erase them off of Zoom. So that's when Mark said, do you have a backup? I'm like, no. Well, guess what? Vimeo was one of the companies that got a ransom.
Oof.
And that got my attention. And so I now have gone back through my Vimeo videos and I now have simply copied them over onto my YouTube channel as well. Now, on both Vimeo and YouTube, you can make them public, you can make them private, you can make them unlisted. You have that option per video. You don't have to just name the channel. You can do it per video. Let me give you an example. When I do my Friday calls, which is the top of my funnel, which is my marketing, and it's open to everybody, I make those public. So if people happen across that on Vimeo or on YouTube, they can click on it and play it and they can hear it. I make that public because I want folks to find me. YouTube is one of the top four search engines on the internet. So if I'm going to talk about creating a mastermind and somebody wants to do a mastermind and they run across that Friday morning call, I want them to be able to play that. Okay. Now, when I'm doing this, where the folks in this call are paying for a membership, see, to be in my membership site, this one's going to be unlisted because I want to make folks pay for it. If they go, oh, I want to see behind the scenes. Okay, well, join the mastermind. You see where I'm going with that? So you can make your course material that you're charging for private or unlisted and think of the public stuff as advertising. So when I do, when you visit my website, mykathybenner.com, and you see all those free meetups down the left-hand side, all the recordings that I've done in those free meetups are all public. Because that free mastermind and those recordings, that is my marketing. That's the top of my funnel. I want folks to tap into a free Zoom call and listen in. And I even type the description that way. Listen in as Linda does the first session of her five, learning how to facilitate a mastermind. Well, you know what? There's going to be folks that are going to tap on that and go, I want to learn how to do a mastermind. And then at the bottom of the description, I can say to join the membership, click here. And now it's got the link over to the Teachable or to my website that they have to now click through and sign up and pay the membership fee to get into the actual membership. And then the calls that we do inside the membership, I record those and I, because you can do it per recording, I do those unlisted. So only the folks that have the link can listen to those. And the only place I put those links are in the membership site. Does that make sense? Did everybody follow that?
Mm-hmm. So I've got one other functionality thing to share.
Okay.
And I'm not sure about Vimeo or Zoom, but I know that when you're giving a class, there's lots of information. When you put something on YouTube, give it a little bit to digest, it actually converts everything talk to text. So you actually can get a written copy of your entire video. The reason I point that out is because think of how much we've said, how much has come out in this. Once that goes to YouTube, it automatically transcribes it. That's the way I'm looking for, it's transcribed. So for your purposes, let's say you've had a really great session on whatever topic, to the point of, wow, I want some of that for written for developing another course. You now have it automatically transcribed over. It's not perfect, but it's pretty darn good. And it would give you a starting point, just copy and paste into your Word doc or whatever you want to do. It gives you a good starting point to then build written material. You've already said it, talked about it, had the input. Now you've got... Mm-hmm. You know, of everything printed, so let's say you have about 60 to 70% that, hey, I can work with this. You have to play with it. But that is 60% of stuff you don't have to type yourself. You're just going through editing. Go on Grammarly or something, edit, tweak it, and then you can use it for whatever your written material is, your written coursework. So it can save you a lot of time.
Yes, a lot of time doing that. And also, I had a gal that she said, I really want to do your Happy House Hunters group. But she said, I have a hearing issue. And she said, I cannot take courses where they're just video. Cause she said, I can't. She said, I read lips pretty well. And she said, but a lot of times, on all of these different devices, on all these different speeds, she said, sometimes the lips aren't totally in sync. And she said, and what happens is, she said, I have a terrible time following what's being taught if my only way to learn it is from a video. And so all of my stuff was on Vimeo, which does not have that transcribing option. And so I said, well, thanks for sharing that. Well, there you go. Well, now that I'm uploading everything onto YouTube that does have that option, she can actually join the mastermind. And all I would have to do is make sure she had that unlisted link so that the general public couldn't tap into that particular video on YouTube, but she could, because I could make sure she has the link to that. Because remember, if it's unlisted, only the folks that have the link can get to it. So let's say that she joined my Happy House Hunters membership site. I could then start posting the Vimeo and the YouTube link in there for folks that were hearing impaired. because now they're getting a transcription right under the video as we're talking. It's closed caption. Does that make sense? And these tools are all available. So again, you can buy a platform that does everything, but if you really aren't in the market to roll, now, Linda, you've got an all-inclusive type platform. Your platform may very well, you might be able to just record right on your platform and not even use Zoom.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I still have to learn is how much space I have. And I may have to store some. Additionally, I don't know that yet, but it is a hosting platform, which is just so phenomenal. Basically, for like the price of Calendly times two, you have everything. Membership platform, unlimited websites, unlimited funnels, etc. So that part is phenomenal. And if anybody's interested, I could definitely share information. Mm-hmm. Something else I wanted to throw out, and I love the idea of Vimeo not like scarfing your viewer and sending them off on some rabbit trail. And of course, we can't forget that YouTube is, I've heard that they're the second biggest search engine. So I don't know if that's true, but it's powerful, you know, mm-hmm. in helping get the word out for us. And another thing that I've done, and this can be a great help for someone who's in the situation you were in, Kathy, where your storage on the computer was really challenged, and it can happen to any of us at any time. We're just suddenly too full. If you get a Dropbox account, you could select the amount of storage that you want. It could be 2 terabytes. It could be 25. I mean, it could be anything.
And you can expand it as you go.
Yeah, yeah, as desired. But the super cool part is Dropbox is, it shows up on your drive, just like drive C, drive D. You have a Dropbox drive, just happens to be stored in the cloud. So when you're doing that setting you were describing at the beginning today, do I want to store my Zoom recordings on my computer or in the cloud? You can say computer, store it on the Dropbox drive in this file under Dropbox, which for me is Zoom recordings-Dropbox. So it's still down at Z for Zoom, but it's being stored in Dropbox. So I am simultaneously recording my meeting to the cloud. So that part is good. However, I there may be a risk in that if something goes crazy on your computer and it hasn't had that opportunity to render, maybe you'd be in trouble. I don't know that little bit at the end.
Right.
But that could mm-hmm. be true regardless if you were storing exactly. it on your computer mm-hmm. if it didn't get to render.
Exactly.
So on that, you know, one thing we haven't talked about, and I just looked up my phone, you can get an external hard drive, a mm-hmm. terabyte of storage is $50, under $50 at Best Buy right now. And you can have that where it'll periodically back up your computer. Yes, Estella.
I go to Costco and periodically they will have a 5 terabyte for like $90.
Mm-hmm. Good to know.
You hook that to your computer.
And I have 2 5 terabytes.
Now,
I haven't used yet.
I do want to share one more thing. I went into a Zoom call and I started recording into the cloud. Now that goes into the Zoom cloud. If I choose into the cloud on the Zoom app itself, it goes into the Zoom cloud, not into my Dropbox cloud or into my computer hard drive. It goes into the Zoom cloud. Here's what happened. I got bumped off the call. I'm the one recording. I got bumped off the call. My co-mod continued on. I circled back around, tapped back in on a totally different device. My co-mod let me back in. I had no idea. I thought this is going to be a test. When that call ended, do you know the Zoom had the entire call in the cloud? And when I listened to it later, you couldn't, there was no hiccup in that recording at all. Because it wasn't done on my computer or into my cloud, it was on the Zoom cloud. And Zoom just kept, as long as the call was still in action, Zoom kept recording. So I will toss that out. And that was a good lesson for me. Yeah, that was a good lesson for me to know that that would happen. Because see, I'm all about passive income. I want to be able to do these from anywhere, from any device, at any time, you know, and that's my tagline. I can work from anywhere, you know, with a cell phone and a cell signal. That's all I need to run my business. And that's my goal, is to be able to run my business that way. I don't want to be tied to any brick and mortar location. So anyhow, I did learn that. So the first thing, find out on your calendar when you can do a 5-session of whatever, and then carve it in stone as much as possible, and then have it easily accessible by all the folks that are looking for it. Because the biggest complaint right now is, and again, you don't want to answer 20 people saying, where do I get the code? Now, what time is the call? Now, where am I supposed to be? Now, what am I supposed to do? You don't want to have to answer all of that, you know, because now you're working by the hour again. You're spending your time trying to make sure everybody's on the same page. So I like to use Google Calendars, and I'm going to share the screen just to show you this. And this is kind of a sweet deal. Here's my Google Calendar. Now, you see all these different colors. See, the blue says that I'm not in town. But what I do whenever I want to do a call, you see here, right here is where we are. Well, let's go to the 27th. That's the 20th. I'm going to highlight the week that we're actually in. Here we are. You can see we're right here. And I've got two actual events that look exactly the same. There's one in red. Okay. And let me get the little bar out of here. You guys can't see that, but my little Zoom bar was in the way. So here's one that when I go to the bottom, it says it's in the Kathy Benner personal calendar. Okay. So now X out of that. There's one right next to it that looks exactly like it. It's exactly the same. It's got the same Zoom. It's got the same description. And when you go clear to the bottom, it is in the Simply Start calendar of events. See, two separate calendars, but I can overlap them. Now, over here is where I overlap the calendars, over here on the left. So here's the Simply Start calendar. If I click that off, look, that second one disappeared. If I click that on, that second one reappeared. So what I do is I put everything on one calendar. That's this Kathy Benner personal calendar. Everything I'm doing is on one calendar. And then once I open up the event that I did, I go to these three little dots up here and I make a duplicate of that event. And it says, where do you want to put the duplicate event? I want to put a copy to the Simply Start calendar. Because when I publish a calendar out to the public, they don't need to know when my doctor's appointment is. See, I only want to publish when my Zoom calls are. I don't want to publish my doctor's appointment or when I'm picking up the kids or when, you know, I've got a dinner date with our friends. I just, all of that is on my personal calendar. All of that is on the original one. But only the stuff that I want to publish, see, there's my personal one. Only the stuff that I want to publish, once I make a duplicate over to the Simply Start calendar, I'm simply going to publish the Simply Start calendar. I'm not going to publish my personal calendar. So now when I go to my website, and I have to keep moving our faces around here. I know you guys can't see that on your end. So then when I publish the calendar on my website, and here's what my website looks like. And then if I click on my little menu and come down to Simply Start Calendar of Events, I put a calendar plugin into my website. And then I only put the link to that Simply Start calendar. So now only things that are on the Simply Start calendar show up here in my website. And so what I tell everybody when they go, oh, how do we find out what you have going on? Go to my calendar. And this is kind of my claim to fame. How many folks are you following that you wish they just had a calendar? You could just go see when their events are happening. Instead of scrolling through their website, is it on their author page? Is it on their meetup page? Is it on their contact me page? Is it on their homepage? Is it in a Facebook post? Is it in an Instagram post? Where do I find what time the meeting is and how to tap in? And so everything is on my calendar. And so now here's the 27th. And when I click on the 12 noon, because you see how it's highlighted, this is where we are. When I click on it, it opens it up. This is the exact same thing you saw over in my Google Calendar. See, all I did is I shared it right here on that one. And then I put that link here. So now folks can copy it to their calendar and they have all this information right on their calendar. And so there's several things of information here. Number one is it shows it's a monthly mastermind. It shows the price. It shows the link where they can go join the mastermind, but they can come straight into the Zoom call. Now, this is what gets a little scary. This is where folks that get this, and anyone can on my calendar, you could have folks join that have not paid for a membership site. That's okay when you get started because you want to let folks come in a time or two to test it out because folks want to know if they know, like, and trust you before they buy. And so that's okay because I know who my founding members are. My founding members don't pay. I know who my paying members are. And if I get a new person that taps in, that's a perfect marketing opportunity. To say, we're glad you're here. We want to invite you to come to a couple of these and until you make your decision whether you want to join or not. And they will. They'll either go away and not come back because they don't want to pay the money, or they'll say, I really got a lot of value out of that. And yes, I want to join. And it goes through, you know, the description on what it is that we're doing. And then it even takes them right out to the Facebook page if they, you know, want to join that. And so all of that is right on the calendar. So no matter which one you open up, see, all of that information is right there on the calendar, no matter where you go. You can just open it up and there's all the information. And at any time, they can save it to their own calendar if they just want to do that one event. Now, if they come down to this little plus button at the bottom, they can add all of my events to their calendar. Let's say that I have a raving fan and they're like, I'm tapping into everything she's doing. They can actually come down here and add all of my events to their calendar at the click of a button. So this is a wonderful marketing tool, because folks can see at a glance. And that's another thing. How many times have you seen a masterclass or a 5-day, especially if you're doing a 5-session of something? How many times have you seen one and you're thinking, I want to do that. That's the information I need. And then you have to go find your calendar. Then you have to find their dates. Then you have to figure out, well, what day of the week is that on? And then can I go to that? And two or three checks and a half an hour later, you decide I can't do those 5 sessions because it overlaps with something else I'm already committed to. And then you let it go by the wayside and you're thinking, oh, I wanted to do that, but now I can't because it's, you know, I've got something else already in that spot. So this way they're actually looking at a calendar. They know that this is on a Monday. See, they're not like, the 27th, what day of the week is that? That way they know exactly where it is. And it's just an easy way for them to know whether they can connect or not connect. The other thing that I do on the calendar, you'll notice I say free or paid, free or paid. Free or paid, paid, free, paid, free. See, so I put that at the beginning of my descriptions on what's free and what's paid. And because that's the first question that the person that's following you wants to know, is this a free event or do I have to pay to go to this event? Okay. If you don't mention it at all, that they don't know. And you have to make it super, super, super simple. And so what you're trying to do when you're writing up your descriptions of all of your events, if you're doing a five session, it could be 5 days in 1 week. It could be 5 Mondays in a row. It could be 5 months of the first Friday of the month. It's however you want to put together your five sessions. And so when you do that, they want to know what's in it for me. That's what they're saying, your audience is saying in their heads, is what's in it for me? And so you want to answer that in your description, that this is the transition you're going to get. If you tap into this, here's where you are and here's where we're going to be at the end of these five sessions. And then if you want to go deeper, you can go deeper. So my recommendation, do a five session something free. And then if they want to go deeper, have a paid option at the end. Now, we're not going to get into pricing today because basically we're out of time. But when you think about pricing, there's a couple of steps that you have to do before you come up with a price. The first thing, and this is going to be your homework assignment for next month, because we're going to start talking about pricing. The first thing you have to do is you have to decide who is your audience. Because remember, you're entering the conversation in their heads. You're not going to make them enter the conversation in yours. You might say, oh, I'd love to have $1,000 a session. Okay, well, what audience are you going to market to that's going to pay you $1,000 per session? Now, there are those out there. There's some very high-end level masterminds, and there are folks that will pay you $1,000 per session if that is your audience. But you have to determine who your audience is. Okay. Now, the way to do that, and Debbie and I have both been through this program, we've followed Carrie Oberbrunner, and I'll just toss out a couple of books. And if you think they might be helpful, that's fine. And if not, that's fine. If you already know what you're going to charge, that's fine. But the first book is Your Secret Name by Carrie Oberbrunner. And in that book, he leads you step by step on how to determine who you are. Who you are, what is your secret name, it's just who you are as a person. And then you go to the second book, which is Deeper Path by Carrie Oberbrunner, and he leads you through this series, and you take who you are, so you already have that's why you kind of do these books in order, so you already know who you are, and now you take who you are and you decide what is your opus. In other words, what are you going to do with who you are? What do you want your life legacy to be? What do you want to be known for? What do you want somebody to say at your eulogy? You know, what is your mission in life at large? What is your mission? And once you determine that, see, who your audience is going to be so easy to see once you know what your mission is in life. And so for me, and again, I'll give you an example if you're wondering how all this fits together. When I went through, I was a nail tech 25 years. Well, who are you, Kathy? Well, I'm a nail tech. I'm a salon owner and a nail tech. And when I went through Your Secret Name, I came out the other end. My secret name was teacher, not nail tech. Because the whole time I was a nail tech, I was constantly coaching and nurturing and teaching across that nail table. And my friends that know me best, they said doing nails was just your platform. That nail table was just your platform, because everyone that came into the salon, they started coming to me. Oh, Kathy, I've got a question. How do I do this? And how do I start that? And I need a side gig, and I'm struggling financially. And I'm like, wow, if I were you, here's what I would do. And I was constantly coaching and teaching. So when I got through Your Secret Name, I came out the other end as teacher. Then when I went through Deeper Path, my opus was, and again, the things are like, what makes you angry in your field, in what it is that you, in your message, what is it that makes you angry? Well, for me, my message is passive income. So what makes me angry is that the folks that need it the most can afford it the least. That's what makes me angry, because it's that single mom, or it's that young family with three kids and a car that they can't keep running. They don't have the clothes or the money or the time to go to college and get a degree so that they can get a better job. they're kind of stuck where they are. And so what makes me angry is that the people that need it the most can afford it the least. So then if that's the case, you know, and what really breaks my heart about all of that is it's the children that suffer, because those parents are sometimes working two jobs trying to make ends meet. They don't have time to better themselves, even if they want to. They don't have the means, they don't have the car, they don't have the clothes, they don't have the time, they don't have the family support, you know. It maybe they're the first person in their family that even graduated from high school. So they don't have that. So now you've got all these different levels of that kind of despair. Maybe they do have a college degree. Maybe they are working corporate America, but maybe they've had some major health issues in their family and financially they're stuck. They still don't have the means to get outside of being stuck. So you see, when I finally realized that that was my opus, that those were the people that I wanted to help, now it's easy to price my products. See, because I don't want to outprice my opus. I don't want to have a $10,000. Oh, don't get me wrong. I'd love to have a $10,000 mastermind, but that's not my opus. You see where I am with that? My opus is to help the folks that don't have the means to pay for a $10,000 program. And so I don't want to price myself out of my audience. So my whole point in that story is your audience is going to be totally different from my audience, but you have to decide what is your opus? What is your passion? Who is it and what is it? And what are the questions that that group of people, whatever that group is, what questions are running around in their head? And those are the answers that they would be willing to pay you for. But once you know who that group is, you'll know where to price your product. If you're dealing, yes, go ahead.
That was gold.
Because that's where a lot of coaches and authors and teachers, that's where they fail. Because they're listening to some guru over here that says you need to start your price point, you know, at $500 or at $1,500 or at $5,000, or they're telling you this is where you need to price it. And if that's not your audience and that's not your heart, your audience is going to, they're going to know. What is it on TikTok right now? They're going to know. No, they're not going to know. Yeah, they're going to know. They're going to know. So your audience will know that that's not your passion, and you're going to have a hard time converting, because you're going to be drawn to your passion, and you're going to want to help those folks that you're passionate to help. And if you're trying to market to one audience, but your passion is a different audience, your audience is going to know.
Thank you, Kathy.
So you have to create the products to where you are answering the questions in their heads. Now, I could come in here, and here's another point. I could come in here today with all kind of, not that I literally could, figure of speech. I could come in here today with all these fancy, you know, technical terms, and I could talk way up here. But because all of you are wanting to start something, I would have been way over your head and you wouldn't have connected with me. See, I have to bring it to where the audience is. You're always going to teach and coach and write and everything to your audience and to where your passion is. And my passion, no matter where you are in your financial life, if you're struggling financially, you could have $100,000 a year and be struggling financially. You could be making minimum wage and be struggling financially. So my opus is to help those that are struggling financially. And that doesn't mean that it's a struggle that you're going to file bankruptcy or whatever. It just means that you have a dream and you don't have the extra income to move on into your dream. You want to, but you know, you can't throw enough money for somebody else to do it for you. You know that you want to do it and you just don't have the funds to just go out there and have somebody do it for you. And that's where I want to come in and show you how to move the needle from here to here, even if it's just the first step, so that you start down that path of living your passion. And along the way, I want to inspire everyone to stay in your passion, because that's where you'll be successful. That is where you'll be authentic. And again, that's where it goes back to your audience will know. Your passion will sell more products than and services than anything else you've got. All right, let's go around. Comments. Biggest takeaway from the event today, we went over, but I think it was important. And again, I get a little excited, as you can tell. So takeaway, anybody?
I'll go first. The biggest two big takeaways for me, one was do at least 5 sessions. And the fact that I remember I was on it when you started and you did the Fit for Life.
Yep.
And I didn't realize that, you know, the simplicity of what you did to just get started. And I have a very wide interest, and there are lots of things that I quote unquote read or attempt to read. And I'm like, oh my God, I'd like to share this and share that. So that was a great aha for me. The 5 sessions, and I'm going to go back. I have both of Carrie's books, Your Secret Name and Your Deeper Path. And I'm going to read those 2 books. And I love the fact that when you said, what is it that makes you angry? I hate injustice. I mean, what a purple passion, always have. And throughout my career, from being in my 20s until now, I fight for the underdog because I hate injustice.
And that is your audience. That is who your audience is. Mm-hmm. And so they'll feel your passion in that. All right. Anyone else?
Kathy, I'm going to have to jump off because I know we went over 7% left. Yeah.
Yes, I get it.
This was super informative. And thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Have a good week and a good 4th of July weekend.
Yes.
Great to see you, Sally.
Nice to see you, Stella.
Can't wait to see your pictures.
I'm working on it.
Perfect. Sally, thank you so much. Okay, who else? Takeaway for today.
I'll jump on.
Yes.
There was so much value all the way through. One thing that I will implement is doing Vimeo in addition to YouTube. I'm planning on doing short recordings on YouTube anyway about the platform that you and I talked about. Because as I discover a cool thing or how to do something, I can make a short video, and that'll help people who are with me. And I'll have greater exposure because of YouTube's power as a search engine.
Yes.
But I love the idea of not getting sent off into the weeds by the way YouTube only wants people to be on YouTube. They're not really seeking to promote you. So that was very valuable. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for that. Someone else.
You're on mute, Debbie.
The thought of a 5D class, sorry, on something, and it brought to my mind that there are so many books that I and authors that I would love to share that somebody doesn't want to take the time to read. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, well, you know, I can do a 5-day class. There's nothing wrong with that. And I have so many different avenues to choose from that I remember when you did the sessions for Your Secret Name.
Mm-hmm.
You just did that right from the book.
Yes. Yes, I actually, for those of you where I tossed out this, Your Secret Name and Deeper Path, I actually did a 5-day class on those books. Yes, early on.
Now, but I don't remember one thing. Did you do the your secret name once a month, or was that once a week?
I would have to go back and look. I think I did it weekly, because it's awfully hard for a lot of folks to tap into something every single day. And what happens when you publish those dates that I'm going to do, you know, starting Monday, we're going to do five consecutive days for, you know, an hour and a half. That's a lot of time all in 1 week for a lot of folks. And so I found, especially if you're going to do a workbook along with it, which we didn't even get into today, on creating a workbook, and you can create that on Canva, but creating a workbook to go along with it, you're going to give out a little bit of homework assignments. And so I find that once a week is pretty darn perfect. Now, when you get into once a month, now you start to lose some folks in between, because they've gotten out of the sink of tapping in. And unless it's a paid group like this one, where you need the month to work on some products or services before the next call. So then once a month would work. But I find weekly is probably the sweet spot.
Well, and that's kind of what I was thinking. And thank you for verifying that I was thinking in the right direction, because you know me, I like to motivate people. And lots of times, I mean, one time on a, I forget what class, I just went on. And afterwards you said, I wish I could go in and cut that out, so that, because that was just, you know, good.
You got into flow is what happened. You got into flow, and it was a magical moment. And if any of you know what that is, when your passion bubbles over, it puts you into flow, and you're just on. You're just on. It's like a switch. You're just on. And boy, if you can capture that, that is where the magic is. If you can get some of that on a recording.
I wish I've gone back and tried to find it, but I forget which mastermind that we were doing. So it's taking a little bit of work, but that's okay. I'll find it. And but this has been amazing today. I mean, the whole thing has been eye-opening, but yet confirming a lot of the things that I've been thinking. And after Clubhouse this morning, again, you gave me things to think about. And so when I got ready to do this class, I've got my first brand new notebook for it. And then I pulled out a green book, and this is going to be my planning book.
Okay.
For whatever thing, anything I want to do. I'm a list person. I'm a person that writes a lot of things down, but I lose where they are. You know, you scraps of paper, stick ups, you know, whatever.
I get it. I get it.
Before I know it, I got a 12-inch pile over here, and it's like, no, I can't do that anymore. Got to have a book.
Right.
And I've got it. There you go.
Mine's in a little yellow tablet. I got my little yellow tablet here.
Well, and I decided while I was sitting here doing this, I'm going to do it in pencil. Yep. Because, you know, you can still write everything down, but then if you want to cross it off, leave the original, I feel, is important. Leave the original and just cross out your advancement thoughts. And that is the way I have got to work. I have got to do it this way, because
I love it.
I'm not going to get paid for anything if I don't put
it. You got to launch. You got to launch. At some point, you got to launch it.
Exactly.
Debbie, that was amazing. And I do remember that time you know, you've been in flow more than once. And it's a magical thing when you bubble over into flow. Mason, how about you? What is your takeaway today? And then I've got a request for everybody, and then we're going to go.
So for me, my biggest struggle, I've been trying to work on how to push my website blog forward. And I'm out of focus. I don't know how to focus or concisely say what I want to do. I mentioned before to you, I can explain what I want to do in 20, 30, 40 minutes, no problem. So I'm trying to focus that down. And I had actually forgot about, I enjoy Deeper Path a lot. So I forgot about those two books to help find focus towards your mission. So actually, I'm going to go back and go through those to try and help focus. I have a meeting tomorrow with a gentleman, a coach I've met, to help me look at my writings, my summaries, and kind of concisely explain what I think I'm doing to go from there so I can help find my voice in a more concise, focused manner. So reminding me of those two books to identify my purpose was very, very helpful.
Yeah, I think if you can write your opus, which would be your purpose, your passion, you know, your legacy, what it is you want to the world to know you for. I think if you can get a good grip and some clarity on that, everything else becomes a lot easier because now you have something that you can test and measure everything against. So when somebody comes to me and says, Kathy, we want you to be a part of this project and they explain it to me. And if it does not appeal to my audience, it is probably not the project for me. But I had to know my opus first before I knew who my audience was. And I have to know who my audience is before I can start creating all of my products and services, because those are the folks I'm doing it for.
That is so good.
Which one of his, I apologize. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was just saying that that's your filter and it's perfect.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Estella.
Oh, no. Thank you. Kathy, which one of his books helps you design your opus? I went through that class. You know, I paid for the class.
Mm-hmm.
Deeper Path is the one that does your opus.
Yes.
Okay. And in case Estelle or Mason didn't know it, what was it? The 2019 Igniting Souls Conference, he launched or had available his revised copies of Your Secret Name, Deeper Path, and I think it was also Day Job to Dream Job, but I haven't finished, I bought them, but I haven't finished reading them, but I'm sure that they're so close to being the same content that you're not gonna, you know.
When he first wrote Your Secret Name, then Deeper Path, and then Day Job to Dream Job, when he first wrote those three books, there was a disconnect between them because he wrote them as standalone. Yeah. And then when he realized, because this is just how God works, once he wrote those three books, he realized that that was the three-step process. So when he went back and republished those, he republished those as a series with matching covers and that. So it was more to make them look like the three-step process that they ended up being, because he didn't publish them like that at the beginning. So before if you remember, the Secret Name was a smaller book, and then the Deeper Path was a medium-sized book, and then the Day Job to Dream Job was a big book. And then once he's republished, they're all the same size, their cover design is the same, and they look like they belong together as a three set. Yeah. And that was his purpose in republishing. But if you've got the originals, the information is there.
Okay. That's all. I didn't want to buy any. Yeah. I have so many books now.
Now, one last thing. If you go, and I'm going to show you, and then we're going to go. I'm going to share screen.
While you're doing that, are you going to, is there a something else that will introduce people to this mastermind? There was a lady that I need to invite.
Yes. Again, here's what I'm going to show you. Go to my calendar, and here's the event on the 27th, this how to create your own mastermind, masterclass, or challenge. And if you go right here, this is the link to join. Mm-hmm. And this is the actual Zoom link to tap right into the call. Mm-hmm. And if you go all the way to the bottom, this is our Facebook page. My request is that all of you could go to my calendar at kathybenner.com, either scroll down the homepage or click on the menu to go to the calendar. You can find it both places. Go to the event today. And here's the information that you're going to use if anybody else wants to join it. But I would like for each of you to go to this Facebook page and give me your takeaway today. And then if you have any folks that are interested, tell them to actually like the page. And once they like the page, when I post stuff there, or when each of you post stuff there, it'll come up in their feed as well.
Okay. Are you doing something on Friday that addresses what we did today?
Last Friday, we did our free, where we're using the book. We're using John Maxwell's book, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. And we each take a turn. And so if any of you want to take a turn, Mason's taking a turn. Linda is doing her turn right now. I've had a turn. Angie's not with us today, but she's had a turn. And so, all of you can take a turn if you, you know, and it's not your material. It's the John Maxwell book. But what it does is it lets you get your feet wet, so to speak, on actually running a five session of something. Debbie.
Kathy, since last Friday, I realized in my folder, I already had the introduction that Linda was talking about. And when I was reading it over, I'm thinking, this is, pardon the word, easy. And to follow, to share with other people, and to get, feedback. As mm-hmm. you're asking the questions, and I'm thinking, well, I can do this. So I think I'm going to go for the next round of five.
All right. Yes. Yeah, send me a text message or something, because I'm in Florida and I don't have my folder with me. So send me a note so that I remember that.
Okay. No problem.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Debbie?
She's going to facilitate a five session mastermind, the free one, that's on the fourth Friday of every month at 10. And, but Linda just started her first one. So she's got four more months. So it'll be 4 months, Debbie, but you can tap in and hear how she does and observe Linda in action. Yeah. She was amazing, wasn't she?
Yes. But can you ladies bring me and gentlemen bring me up to speed on what Linda's doing?
We do a free meetup the fourth Friday of every month at 10, where everybody gets a turn to actually facilitate a mastermind based on the John Maxwell book, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect, just to practice running the mastermind. And Linda is taking her five session turn. She did her first session on this past Friday.
And what Debbie time is that?
10 a.m. Fourth. And again, go to the calendar. Yeah. Right here.
It'll be October for the fifth class.
Yeah. See, right here, it's what we're all about. And there's the Zoom code. This is the free one. And here's what you get. You get the facilitator guide. You can just practice the whole thing. You get the framework, the masterclass, all of that comes with it. And it's the fourth Friday of every month on Zoom. So not only do you participate, but you learn how to create your own. So from that, that's where this class was born, because everyone in the free one said, we actually wanted you to pull back the curtain and show behind the scenes how we can actually start to do our own with our own products and services.
I don't know that I can do it on Friday, but I'm going to invite her to see if she can do it on Friday. I have three meetings on Friday mornings.
Well, or invite her to this one on Monday. Invite her to sit in on a couple and see if
but
she.
But isn't this out. Just once a month?
This one is once a month, but so is the Friday one. It's only once a month as well. It's the free one. Oh, okay. This is the paid mastermind one, but she's welcome to sit in on a couple and see if she likes and see if she finds
okay, I'll invite her to the Friday one and then tell her there's one on the fourth.
It's week. The fourth Friday is free and the fourth Monday is the paid version.
Okay. Yeah, I'll invite her. Okay. Thank you.
Which, all right. So don't forget, go to my calendar and scroll down to the Facebook page. It's not a group, it's a page. But comment on the page, you know, make a post on the page about, you know, your takeaway or something about the group, just so that the rest of the members there know that we are being active in this mastermind.
Okay, so we go to KathyBenner.com and scroll down to your Facebook.
Scroll down to the calendar and find the Facebook page for this.
Okay.
Kathy.
Yep. Yes.
Seeing next Monday is the 4th, not to change the subject, but are we going to have class that day?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was on my mind. And let me... looking for my... there it is. You are correct, because the I'll probably not do the clubhouse at all. And that gives us our Build a Better Business, the mastermind. Kyle and I are already going to move it over to Wednesday or Thursday, because that's where we do boots on the ground. So he has to always get into a property. So we'll move that one. So the only one is the Build a Better Business. And so my guess is that we can either move it over to Tuesday or skip it, because we have it again on the third Monday. So it depends on what everybody's thoughts are on that.
Okay. I know I can't do it Tuesday.
We might skip one only because of it being the 4th of July.
In for me, I'm not going to be able to make it.
Okay. So we may just skip it only because it's so hard. And again, this is what I was saying before. It's so hard to move your stuff around, you know. So oftentimes when there's a holiday, sometimes it's just better to skip that one than to try to move it, because it's somebody always gets left out when you try to move stuff around.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
With that in mind, in regard to Debbie in particular, for the free Friday mastermind, I end at the end of October, but the next one is probably the day after Thanksgiving, and then the next one is probably right up against Christmas. Do you typically not hold any meetings for November and December, or how do you do that?
No, we actually go through November and December, because there's some folks that get busier during the season, and then there are some folks that everything falls away and they have nothing, and they feel like they're in this void and they don't have any connection during those times. So if it does not fall on an actual holiday, then we continue through.
Unless, and then would Debbie start in January or right after me?
She would start right after you.
Oh, great.
Yeah, she would start right after you. And, but again, the only ones we miss or the only ones we skip is if it falls on an actual holiday. And I consider like Christmas Eve and, you know, and Black Friday, those are all kind of holidays. So right. We skip those, but if it falls on a Friday or a Monday, that's not an actual holiday, we'll still continue.
Yeah. 'Cause November, is the 25th, and then in December, it's December 23rd. So, you know, whoever can make it for the 23rd is kind of the way I look at it.
Yeah. Now, Thanksgiving Day is November 24th. So the 25th is Black Friday. And that's a big shopping day. A lot of sisters get together and mothers and daughters get together. And so we may skip that one.
Okay.
And then with Christmas, that being Christmas 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, we may skip both November and December, because the one there in December, that's Christmas weekend, that Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And everybody's so, traveling.
Yeah. So anyhow, I'll talk with you about it, but we may go over to January, because that way everybody will be through the holiday season. And again, when it falls that close to or on a holiday, that makes it difficult.
So thanks for bringing it up, Linda.
Yes,
sure.
All right. Perfect. I think we're good. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Yes, glad you tapped in today. I hope I brought lots of value and I've inspired you to add something to your toolbox.
You have.
All right. See everyone next time.
Thank you. Bye.